In 1877, the earth moved with the power of a footballing giant, and the world was introduced to the beautiful game.
People might yet win it here for Wolves. Blasting the shot. What a goal! Fully the hero again.
And a podcast is following the giant in its bid for glory at the top of what it created all those years ago. This is the 77 Club.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello and welcome to episode 260 of the 77 Club. Harry, start with the socials.
Yes, the Wall 77 Club on Facebook and Instagram at 77 Club Podcast on Twitter or X. And we're on Spotify and everywhere else.
Jack Williams is here.
Good evening, boys.
Harry, I'm going to start with an apology because we went out on Saturday night and with all the intentions of watching the England-Brazil game and obviously watching our boy João Gomes in action for Brazil. And what happened is we got absolutely battered and lost Harry somewhere and then I fell asleep and my phone was off. So he was outside my house for a very long time. So
all night, basically. Yeah.
I'm going to blame him also, but there you go. Did any of those bets come in, by the way?
No.
Ah, right, okay. Let's start with England, though, Harry.
Hi, Jack.
He said hello to me, to be fair. It's fine.
Sorry, I didn't realise. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Don't worry.
Let's start with that England game. João Gomes had a brilliant game. Lots of plaudits coming from all pundits, really, following a full 90 minutes for him. He was energetic, a bit like a pit bull, exactly what we expect. And he's taken his club form into his country form.
Yeah, I also heard... I had Micah Richards talking about it on his podcast, full of praise, as everyone has been. And I don't like it. I don't like the fact that now, because let's be honest, even before this appearance against England for Brazil, there was a lot of rumours going around that he's being watched. Matt Hobbs did an interview recently saying that big clubs are keeping tabs on him. And this just boosts his profile even more. But fair play to him. Must be an absolute dream for him. We know how good he is. We know he's a fantastic player and, he can be an absolute match winner on the day. Spurs away is probably the prime example of when he's proper on it. And, yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it because I want to keep him. But, the betting man, I don't know if we will at the moment come the summer.
It's a nice problem to have, though, isn't it, Jack? Because it means that they're performing for Wolves and that's all that really matters at the end of the day. Because if no one's snooping around your players, then it probably means that there's something wrong, especially if you're in the Premier League and you're in the top half of the table. Obviously, Casemiro isn't getting picked for Brazil. He's come in for him there. There are now links with Manchester United coming in for Gomes, as Harry's just mentioned, lots of clubs sniffing around him. Is it a nice problem to have, or do you wish he was sort of going under the radar a little bit?
I wouldn't say it's a nice problem to have. There's lots of speculation about a player leaving, as we've seen in the past, particularly with young players. It can get in their head, can't it? And then you can end up with scenes of them wanting the move or trying to force the move through, something like that. But I think the amazing thing with Yao Gomez, I'm not surprised that he's getting attention, but he's only been in England for like just over a year. When you think it's, yeah. We've seen players under Fosun quite a lot that have come over and just haven't adjusted or haven't settled. And he's the complete opposite of that, isn't he? He's like a duck to water straight away. I know he scored on his debut, but it still took him a little bit of time, like, you know, after that, but he's just all guns blazing now. And you can just tell he loves playing football. He loves the tackle. He's like a little bloody pit bull terrier, isn't he? And just the way he doesn't give up. So I think he's great. And I want to see him in a Wolves shirt for as long as possible, but it's a bit frustrating, particularly when you mentioned that Matt Hobbs interview there, Harry, that he's one who's potentially already earmarked for a potential move for big money. So yeah, he's in the shop window, but you know, you just got to take it game by game and see what happens. But yeah, he's one that I would love to see sticking around, but you know, I'm getting a bit worried about it, to be honest.
Harry, it's one of those, isn't it? Because I think if he played for someone that wasn't Brazil, that he probably wouldn't get the attention. And to be fair, England wouldn't normally be playing Brazil, really, unless it was at a tournament. I mean, we haven't played them in a tournament since 2002, obviously. So do you think it was just because of him playing for Brazil, but also because he's in the shop window playing England at Wembley, and you know that it sort of feeds into that Premier League narrative?
Yeah, 100%. That's what James says in the comments. Don't freeze Yao Gomez. I like that one. But no, like I said, though, he has been highly touted and being watched. What I will say, though, it'd be a mad profit we'd get on him, wouldn't it? Because you've got to think it'd be 40 million plus we'd get for him if we did sell. And how much are we signing for? I can't remember the exact figure, but it was in the teens, was it? Or was it?
I can't remember. It wasn't cheap. I know it's a great shout out to like how well they've done scouting him, because obviously it was a difficult thing to get him over here. They had to jump through a lot of hoops to even do that. And boy, is it paid off though. Yeah.
And apparently, if you remember his interview, that big Twitter thing that happened, that free Yao Gomez, was one of the reasons why he picked Wolves as well, because he loved the fact that the fans wanted him so much. So yeah, but it does suit Fosun's model, doesn't it? They love getting a cheap person in and then tripling their money on him. So, and the fact that Neto's injured, it looks like we probably won't sell Neto. And if we've got to sell players to bring players in and build our squad a bit, it doesn't look good, does it, for him being a Wolves player next season? But he's that good this early on, and the sky's the limit for him, isn't it? He's in his early 20s and he looks like a world beater already. Yeah, so it's interesting. But I hope you don't. If it is anyone, I hope it isn't Man United, to be honest. That'd be annoying. I don't like any of our players going to Man United, to be honest.
Jack, I'll just bring in Stephen's question, which is, who is more likely to leave Wolves this summer, Gomez or Neto? And just put a price tag on Yao Gomez.
I mean, I'd want 50 million for him, to be honest, as a benchmark, but depending on who's coming in, if it's Chelsea, then 90, just to see how it goes. But I think in terms of who's more likely, I think just because of Neto's injury record now, I think it is less likely to be able to attract the sort of money that we would want to be able to let him go. So I don't think a club's going to risk paying 70 or 80 million for a player that was long-term injured last season and has pulled up twice or this season. It's you know, it's a massive risk on your investment. Whereas Yao Gomez, the biggest risk to him really is being suspended for 3 games for a straight red, isn't it? So as long as you can work that in, then you're okay with it. But yeah, just such fair play to him, because yeah, he's done so well since he came in, and he's settled, and like particularly this season, he's really like made that starting midfield spot his own, and the fans love him just because of how he gets stuck in, really, and the type of player he is. And I think he could go and do a job, you know, at a really big club, and I think he's much better than some of the options that Man United have on offer. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I'd love to at least get another season out of him, but at the same time, it's one of those where we're probably getting a bit sentimental just because we don't want all our good players to leave. But I suppose we have to trust the process, because when it's happened before, Fosun have pulled through with other gems, haven't they? Like the likes of Yao Gomez, who we're talking about now. But it's just a shame that our season risks petering out just because of injuries. which I know I've said every week now, but it is just like, you know, the confidence I have going into the run in this season is all dependent on the personnel available, and it's cost us an FA Cup semi-final at least by not investing properly in January and just being hit with injuries to all our forward players. So yeah, I'd like to have another crack at it next season with everybody staying, but at the same time, you've got to be a bit realistic.
Harry, it feeds into the narrative, doesn't it, of having to sell before we buy. And, you know, if that is the case, then you almost do want your one of your top stars to be doing the business and courting the interest as we head into the summer. I think the business is going to need to be done either, it's going to be either very early on in the window or probably very late, because obviously we've got the Euros to contend with. João Gomes obviously won't be at the Euros because Brazil aren't in Europe, but, you know, it does sort of push everything back a couple of weeks to a month. So I'll go back to Stephen's question for you. You know, how much is Gomes worth?
Yeah, I think, like I said, 40 million plus at least, especially with his age. And yeah, but the thing is, as good as I'd be if Gomes is to leave, which at the moment, as we're doing this, it probably seems like he will, I trust in our scouting network a bit now. Like Jack said, they've found a João Gomes. I know they got that Enzo Gonzalez in, that really young lad, but he's been injured and that. And the scouting seems to be working, and this is the new model, as I mentioned. And I'm confident. We've got good players in there. If we sign Tommy Doyle, he's decent, isn't he? We've got Boubacar Traore. Whether he stays, I don't know. But I think they could get him replaced, to be honest. And if it is a really high fee, we could get a few players in and get players in for the prices of likes of Dawson and Lamina, around the 10 to 15 million or even lower in Dawson's case. So yeah, I trust that they'll get it right. And I think that Matt Hobbs has already put on, you know, I mentioned earlier, he's already put out the message, really, hasn't he? So Wolves fans can't go mad if we do sell him, because we've been warned really already. So
yeah, no, it's fair. Just a final point on England, gents. Do you think there would be any more movement in the squads? And I know a lot of people have been talking about this is the summer, this is the generation that's finally going to come back home with a trophy. Jack, do you think that will be the case? Obviously, we're not as excited now after a loss to Brazil and a draw against Belgium. But I think as the summer gets ever closer and those beer tents start calling, then it does change things slightly.
There's always going to be expectation, and you know, Southgate's record, although you can question the football itself, you can't really question how well he's done to get us to the later stages of major tournaments, which has in the past haven't been a given up by a long stretch. Do I think we'll win it? No, I think we'll be hard to beat, but we'll probably get turned over in one of the later knockout stages again, to be honest. Actually, just a quick question on this. Like, did you two actually watch the game, or were you just asleep in a gutter by that point?
I watched a little
and I watched a bit last night.
Yeah, I watched last night.
I didn't watch any last night, but I watched a bit. But the England Brazil game was on in the pub, and I was half watching it, half chatting. You know what I mean? I wasn't like fully glued to it like I would be a Wolves game. But at one point, João Gomes, he had like half a chance to hit the ball. I was like, "Oh, go on, João!" And everyone who I was with were like, "What are you doing?" Like, I know, because I genuinely wanted him to score, and I'm like thinking, "Am I wrong here? Is that bad?" Like, obviously, I wouldn't do that in a World Cup or anything, but when it's a Wolves player playing against England, I kind of wanted him to. Like, what do you guys think?
I agree, mate.
No, Sam? I don't. Mate. No, I think it's nice to see Wolves players playing for their country, but I think as soon as the tournament comes around, it's a different thing. Do you not think?
Yeah, obviously, I wouldn't do it in a World Cup semi-final or anything. No. But, you know, I think in a friendly, they're just a waste of time anyway, aren't they, these games, really? So
true. Although we had backed João Gomes to score, so I suppose I would have been jumping up and down.
Well, there you go then, yeah. That's allowed.
No, fair.
But yeah, in answer to your question, do I think we'll win the Euros? No, but we'll do okay.
Excellent. Okay. Let's move on to all things Wolves and Premier League. Harry, Villa away. You've secured a ticket. Congratulations on that. 5:30 kickoff. So, firstly, do you think you make kickoff?
You're not just completely skipping over the Gary O'Neill story, are you, before we get to this?
I was going to save that until afterwards, but I mean.
Okay. Yeah. No, sorry. Thank you. Thanks to Jack, actually. I've got a ticket, believe it or not. I found it in his bedroom. No. Big game. Really big game. And I'm worried because we are still in the dark about injuries, aren't we? You've got to think we're quite big underdogs, but it's a derby, and it'd be nice to get a positive result to bounce back from the disappointment of the Coventry game. Well, if we've got the team that played in that Coventry game, the same team available, I do fear the worst.
I agree completely, to be honest, if that was going to be the next question. We saw that, you know, Villa had a great season, didn't they? They've had an incredible season. You've got to say fair play to them. They're pushing for Champions League football. They're probably going to get lucky and get fifth on the year, where fifth, for some reason, will suddenly get Champions League football. So I think they're much more likely to get it than not. They're probably going to win the bloody Conference League, because let's face it, it's always going to be an English team who gets to the later stages of that tournament, just because of, you know, the setup of it. But at the same time, you know, they've had a great season. And yeah, I'm worried as well, just because, like, Fraser and Sarabia up top didn't work against Championship, and it's not going to work against Champions League, is it? And I know a lot of players had an off day. You know, we've called out the likes of Lamina for, you know, having a poor game, and that's unlikely to happen again. But the massive reason we've been successful this season is, you know, we've been fairly solid at the back, and we just break with pace, and we've just got venom to turn the ball over quickly, win the ball back in good places, like the likes of João Gomes does, and then play it forward quickly and have threats going forward, like Quang, like Cunha, like Neto. And without them, it's just not going to work. I just don't see it. I just don't see us scoring enough goals, really. So I fear the worst as well. Villa, you know, they've been great at home. What was their winning run at home? It was ridiculous, wasn't it? The amount of games they won on the spin.
18, 19 games, yeah.
And I don't see us scoring enough goals to trouble them, because I think they'll just straight away won't feel the threat as much when they're lumping it up to Fraser, rather than having, you know, Neto and Huang or whoever it might be stood on the halfway line just waiting for the turnover. So, I'm not confident, to be honest. It's a difficult place to go at the best of times, but I hope I'm wrong.
Stephen says, apparently Villa have got some injuries, so Wolves may have a chance. Harry, what do you think that lineup is going to be like? Because obviously, like Jack said, they've had a brilliant season. I think what they've done is textbook brilliant, because they went into the Conference League, obviously a lesser European competition, which they have a genuine chance of winning compared to maybe what the Europa League would be. It's not sucks all of their life out of their players, which means they've been able to compete in the league at the same time. So they managed to challenge on all fronts, which is, you know, great for them, and although we hate to see it. Earlier on this season, 1-1 draw. What do you think the lineup will be this time round? And do you think it will be a repeat of earlier on the season, or maybe just magically a repeat of that off target, on target, last minute Ruben Neves free kick?
Yeah, so apart from in the Championship and they beat us 4-1 at Villa Park, we've had a decent little turnout there, haven't we? We always seem to do okay there. You mentioned that comeback. We've had a few draws there. I remember winning there in lockdown. But on our team, like I said, obviously I think Cunha will be in the squad. So you've got to assume he'll be on the bench. I'm not sure what's going on with Bellegarde. But if Bellegarde's around, I would probably start him. I wouldn't really want to start Fraser this game, if it can be helped. So hopefully we can play some kind of formation where he can contain Villa and still be in the game, and bring on Cunha late on in the game and try and nick something. If we win, it'd be an absolutely fantastic result. I know Villa have dipped a bit lately. I think they drew their last game 1-1. They lost, got absolutely smashed 4-0 against Spurs, didn't they, at Villa Park recently? So with that, taking that into account, that gives you a little bit of hope. And then, like I said, we do well when we go to Villa Park, but it all depends on who we've got available. Because, and I hope the break as well that the players have had has helped, because they look so tired against Coventry. And I think Dawson returning will be massive as well. Like I've said so many times, I'm a massive fan of Santi Bueno, but get Dawson in there, experienced defender in a big derby game, which is a bit more feisty these days, isn't it, after all the mind the gap stuff. And yeah, so maybe try and hold out and then bring Cunha on and hope he can work his magic and get some kind of result. I guess the tactic is.
How do you see it panning out, Jack? I mean, Trevor's put, how about Mario's brother? No.
Luigi. how do I see it panning out? I fear the worst, to be honest with you. I don't think we're going to create enough, and by that point, the game could be gone. And it's too much pressure on Cunha to expect him to whether he starts, which I think is very unlikely, or comes off the bench, it's like you expected him to be at the level he was before his injury and has maintained throughout the Premier League season in the last 15 minutes away at Villa Park on his first game back. It's just, I just don't see it, to be honest with you. I think it's too much, and the burden needs to be shared a little bit more. But it's just like, yeah, I've just it's just at the moment, I think it's probably like, obviously the Coventry game hasn't helped because it took me a bit of time to get over that. Mm-hmm. I'm still not quite, I don't think. No. But I'm just looking at it now and thinking, like, we haven't got the personnel going forwards. Like, Aitnori's got to play further forward. That's because that's the only option that we've got, really, that actually looks like we have an attacking threat. And I just don't, I don't think Fraser's good enough yet to be leading the line, let's be brutally honest. And it just leaves us looking a little just missing stuff up top. And you can't be doing that, particularly when you're going to try and, your whole team's been built around, you know, going to these places and trying to play with pace on the break. And, you know, but what happens if Sarabia gets injured or Fraser gets injured now? Like, who's going to be playing up there? I don't like playing with the three midfielders either, even though I think they've all had great seasons, all three of them. I just think we look better when we play with two and go a bit more attacking. But yeah,
if Aitnori goes up a bit, because Bueno, well, obviously, Odoherty would be the choice to come in for him. But you've seen Hugo Bueno, he's been linked with Celtic, hasn't he? Recent days. So he might start Doherty if that's the case. But Bueno took his goal quite well, didn't he, Hugo Bueno, against Coventry? So maybe, could he play out on the left a bit higher up? I don't know. We're clutching at straws, obviously, because we're desperate.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see that. But Aitnori, do you know what, Jack? For some reason, I completely forgot as him as an option up there. I don't know how, because he was so good against Coventry. But he's another one, isn't he? He's our only hope as well. Him and Cunha, I guess. So if Aitnori starts up there, maybe he can work his magic. But like you say, it's hard to pick, isn't it? I don't envy Gary O'Neill. This is going to be a tough selection to make.
Let's do a score prediction, Jack.
I think this could be bleak. I really do. I think this could be bad. So I'm going to go, don't come at me in the comments, but I'm going to go 4-0 Villa.
Wow. Okay. Harry, have you got any light at the end of the tunnel?
I don't think it'd be that bad, purely because I think we'll set up very defensively with five at the back, defend our box deep. So for that reason, I don't think it'd be that bad. But I do think, if I'm being honest, I do think we'll lose like 2-1 or 2-0. I'll go 2-0 Villa, because I can't see us scoring. I can't see where the goals are going to come from.
Well, I've got a good feeling about it, so I think we'll just edge it.
Why? Well, can you possibly on paper have a good feeling about this one?
I don't live my life on paper. Well, and my optimism is reflected in just a couple of bets that I've selected. I mean, Wolves, first of all, are 4-1 to win. So that tells you what the bookies think. I think they might be on there. Definitely on
Sober Coventry.
So I've got Lamina anytime, Wolves to win. Ollie Watkins to have 3 shots on target is 50-1. The Masili one, believe it or not, Ollie Watkins to score anytime, Pablo Sarabia anytime, Fraser to have 2 or more shots on target, and Tommy Doyle to have 2 or more shots on target will get you 350-1. So there's my slightly less sensible and very optimistic bets for you there.
4 on Wolves.
I thought you were going to say something then, Jack. Sorry.
No.
Talk about the manager, Harry. Gary O'Neill has been linked with Manchester United, but not in a way that you'd think he would be linked. You'd think, yeah, okay, he's having a very, very good season. He's worked miracles when you listen to the podcast from the beginning of this campaign. But it looks like they could offer him a coaching role in whatever new setup takes place at Old Trafford in the summer. A, do you think that is a disservice to Wolves? And B, one, a disservice to Gary O'Neill?
It's just, this is why I hate Man United, to be honest. Because they still think now, even though they're probably just slightly better than Wolves at the moment, if you look at the table and in recent years, and they think they can just swoop in, get João Gomes, and then get Gary O'Neill as one of their coaching staff. It's just, oh, it just makes you angry. And I think I saw it on Twitter, so it must be true. I don't know what article it actually come from, the story, but Gary O'Neill apparently is aware of the interest. I'm sure if they wanted him as manager, you might think, oh, but hopefully we offer him a new deal and hopefully he does want to stick around. Because I saw that Man United want the Brighton manager, the Brentford manager. and I can't remember who else they're linked with, but obviously Southgate, sorry, Gareth Southgate. But yeah, I think because how well Gary O'Neill has done, it's obvious he's going to get linked with moves away, isn't it, to bigger, well, so-called bigger, well, they are a bigger club, but better club, I don't know, on the pitch at the moment. But yeah, it is borderline insulting, isn't it, that they think they can just take him as a coach. If he goes as a coach now, he's going to look a bit silly, but yeah, I can't see it. I can't just see him as a coach.
I assumed it was actually for the manager's job when I saw it. No. I haven't actually looked at this. Is this actually credible, or is this just football Twitter nonsense?
I think it is followers? Quite credible. It's quite credible, yeah. You have to look it up. If you go on Twitter quick enough, it weren't like Percy or anyone like that. I think he was an American one, like ESPN or someone like that, from memory.
Thing is about
so it wasn't like completely.
You just randomly make up, though, so bizarre that it could be true, because Jack said, if it was a manager's job, you go, okay, yeah, no, it's paper talk. But when they're going, you know, he could have a role in a backroom staff where they're wanting to, you know, have quality at every single level of that management team, then it almost seems like it would make sense more.
I mean, what do you want to do it? What do you want to? Oh, I suppose the money will probably still be quite good. He can probably, name his terms. But, you know, I'm sure he's like being a manager, hasn't he? He was really disappointed when he got sacked by Bournemouth. He's had a great season here. Would he want to be, you know, at the front and responsible? Because, you know, he's an English manager in the Premier League doing well, of which there aren't hundreds, are there? Let's be honest. There's not loads of them knocking about. Southgate's going to be moving on at some point soon. You'd think, unless he wins the Euros, I think he should move on this year.
I think, yeah.
It only takes another good season or two, and another good season, and he'll be in with a shout at that job if he wants it. So it depends exactly what he wants, doesn't it, really? But I think he'll stay, unless it's actually like a managerial head coach job at a top six club. Like, I think he's having too much fun, to be honest.
Well, I agree. And Harry, he's obviously having some say over transfers. Obviously, the Matt Hobbs of the world are pulling a lot of strings in the background, but I think they're working together a lot more closely than maybe they have with managers in the past. And that comes into it as well, because, you know, if you're a manager, you want to sign your own players. He's only had one window and his hands were pretty much tied, as were most managers, you know, all over the world, to be fair. I mean, even for the Saudi Pro League in January, it was fairly quiet to what everybody was expecting, just because profit sustainability rules were tying hands and stuff. So I imagine he'd want to see some sort of reassurances in the summer. But at the end of the day, it's the control that you want, because you want to mold it in your team. You know, if you're getting battered by supporters or whatever, calling out decisions, then you want to sort of live and die by the sword.
Yeah, I hope. We always have this debate about managers of Wolves under Fosun. I hope he does get a lot of control, but I think that was Lopetegui's big concern, that he didn't really have much control, because the way it's set up now, obviously we talk about the scouting network we've got. I mean, Gary O'Neill ain't going to South America, is he, and watching the next João Gomes? You know what I mean? It's a lot of players that get presented to him. I'm sure he has got players that he knows that he'd want to get in. And I just hope something don't happen like with that. The Gyökeres, was it, for Coventry? Did you see that story where Jeff Shee couldn't get back into England, so we couldn't give him the money? And then he's gone to wherever he's gone abroad and he scored like 35 goals. So let's hope it's a bit better than that. But I think Gary O'Neill is the type of bloke as well, because he's more of a head coach, isn't he? He's more on the grass involved. I think he is more of a head coach or head manager, whatever you want to call him, who just gets players in, they recommend to him, gets him in and tries to improve him. Whereas I think Lopetegui was more of a man manager, wanted his players. And I think that's where the relationship broke down in the end, wasn't it? So be interesting. But he got let down in January, didn't he? At the end of January, he thought he was going to get a striker in. They didn't do it. So if they keep letting him down and keep pissing him off, he won't stick around, will he? As simple as that.
Jack, I suppose one story that's been doing the rounds today with Fosun's accounts being published, I think its profits are up 20% to £540 million. I think the company as a whole had been struggling over the last couple of years, and obviously the pandemic and things like that hadn't helped, as obviously that affects everybody around the world mostly. But it shows that company is on the up, potentially funds to spend, or, you know, putting some of that revenue to good use in the Premier League transfer.
Yeah. Is a lot of that down to inflation, you think, the past few years maybe as well, though? Is that possibly jumping stuff up maybe? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Our business correspondent doesn't turn up anymore because he's just skiing. And
he, where is he?
So,
where is he?
Don't know.
Where
is he? Free Dan Bayliss. So I don't know really. But yeah, it seems like a positive sign. But again, Fosun, we've seen in the past, like they've got their fingers in lots of pies and they run everything as a business, don't they? So just because they've made a shed load of money elsewhere doesn't mean that it's going to make its way through to Wolves. It's not like a Chelsea where they're just going to throw £1 billion down the toilet just for a bit of fun. So we'll have to wait to see, won't we? But I mean, the financial fair play thing with that change and the fact we managed to quite luckily avoid it just before the start of this season, there's got to be investment because, like, if players move on again, the squad is too small as it is now, as we've seen, and we can just see straight in front of us. It's cost us this season, basically, I think, by losing so many players at this time due to lack of personnel. We can't make that same mistake again. We've got to bring people in the summer.
I know that that some people were highlighting sort of like either last chance saloon or potentially a first chance under Gary O'Neill, Harry. I mean, the players that are going to return from loan, obviously we talked about a bulk of them last week when we were talking about how threadbare that the squad is, the Pedences, the Silvers, the Kalajic, obviously he's injured. But one I think that Gary O'Neill is quite keen to take a look at is Yerson Mosquera. Thoughts on him? Is it a little bit of a weird one? Because I mean, at centre back, we're not overly short, but it does seem that the style of play that we like to play, then centre backs, you need more than a couple.
Yeah, he come back in for a little bit in January, didn't he? And was in and around the squad, and he was in a few of the pictures. From what I've not watched him, obviously, but from what I've heard, he did well in America. And now, is he in Spain somewhere now? I don't know. He's gone to like quite a decent club, hasn't he? Yeah. But yeah, he's highly rated, and I think they are hoping that he will be in and around the first team. It's like, you know, I think Gary O'Neill will give him a chance. Dawson ain't getting any younger, is he? And this is what Fosun like, isn't it? They got him from the Colombian league, didn't they? Was it a couple of years ago now? And he was highly touted then. So hopefully it does work out. But I was going to say about the Gary O'Neill thing, just quickly, sorry. I remember this time last year, we were all talking like this about Lopetegui, wasn't we? So just things can change so quickly in football. So like, just to think that Gary O'Neill will be here, I don't want to really hold my breath, but yeah, it's interesting. And just on Matt Hobbs, just something's come back to me about his interview. Because he loves the Brighton model, doesn't he? He kept mentioning the Brighton model, the way they have like plans way ahead. So if Gary O'Neill did go, Matt Hobbs has said they've already looked at other candidates who would come in to replace him. So I think that's a good thing, isn't it? Because the Brighton model's fantastic. Every time they lose a superstar or lose a manager, they seem to get someone in who's just as good or better. So if we can emulate them, we've got a really good future under Hobbs. And basically, Jeff Shees took a step back and he's starting to look okay. No offence to Jeff Shees, done good things, but when he's got good people around him, we've done all right. But when he tried to take over too many roles and make too many decisions, that's when he started falling apart a bit. So I'm glad that he's giving more power to the likes of Matt Hobbs.
There's a couple of comments, Jack, around the home fans and whether we have a bit more of a role to play when we're playing those, what, as you call, maybe lesser teams, or when we're not the underdogs, as Harry likes to say. Do you think Oliver's got a point there?
Yeah, I think we've said it most of the season, haven't we? But it's not a new thing. It's always seems that the ground's a bit flat when it's a team at home that you should beat. And we need to be careful because we've got quite a lot of games coming up against teams like that between now and the end of the season. Obviously, probably with the exception being the top three and then the Villa game. But yeah, you know, it's always happened, and it's hard to get motivated. And also,
I love how you said the top three in the Villa game, which is actually the top four. So I love that you ain't giving the credit for that.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Yeah. But it's quite close in it for the fourth place. So yeah, I wasn't sure exactly who was where. But I've lost my train of thought now. But yeah, the kickoff times make a difference as well, don't they? Yeah. Like, you know, an early kickoff or a kickoff on a Sunday or a Monday night, everyone's a bit down and a bit cold. But you know, there's no excuses for Arsenal at home, which is now a bloody 7:30 kickoff, isn't it? That one. So on a Saturday. But yeah, it could be better, but once you start doing well and you dream of big things like Europe and Wembley, the expectation comes with it, and then it's hard to get motivated for Burnley at home, isn't it? So
agree. And you know, when you say it's hard to get over the Coventry result, and I think for me at the moment it's a little bit in limbo, because if the season peters out, then that will be the point where you go, well, that's where it was fucked. But, you know, if something, some miracle happens, I'm sure we'll forget all about it, won't we? Stephen says the summer will give fans a test in time, as there must be a huge doubt about Fosun's willingness to invest further in the club. Harry, I want to link that to somebody we've been linked with today, which is Che Adams. I mean, do those two things go together quite nicely, don't they? And like hope and expectation.
Yeah, for apparently a free as well, isn't it? A free transfer. So we're always linked with Che Adams. Has it been not the last three windows have been linked with him? Mm-hmm. And it hasn't seemed to come off. So, but on a free transfer, right up Fosun Street. Yeah. And I think, yeah, I'd take him, to be honest. And I know we were linked with Nketiah as well from Arsenal. I'm sure that'd be very pricey, though, because he's, although he hasn't been their main striker when he has played, he's quite decent, isn't he, in front of goal? So someone like him would be good too. And as we know, we have got a bulk up in the striker area. And I'd take Che Adams, yeah, why not?
And obviously, Nketiah is English as well. So, I mean, that's going to bring the English tax with it. Harry's gone and he's back again. The English tax for that, Jack, I mean, you do end up paying a premium. And obviously, he's coming from a big club who's competing for a league title. So, you know, I think that usually adds money. Of course, in the case of Tommy Doyle, that wasn't the case. But I think because they thought Nunes was probably worth a little bit more than he is.
Yeah, I'm not a fan in general of taking big six clubs hand-me-downs, to be honest. It doesn't tend to work out. I know Tommy Doyle this season might have, you know, break that rule a little bit. But and also, actually, when you said earlier that someone said, oh, I don't like players going to Man United, who was the last Wolves player who went to Man United? Like,
no, they're always linked.
I don't remember it happening, really.
No.
So that would be breaking a trend as well, wouldn't it, really? I'm sure it has happened in the past, but I'm talking like, you know, the post-2000 era.
More than that.
I can't think of one and a half on its own, no.
And we've had a few. We've had, like, you know, Darren Gibson on loan and these, you know, these...
Coming our way, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. If you could come in our way and... It was that one.
I mean, we technically send them back.
Borthwick-Jackson, rubbish again. That's what I mean. I don't like... you know, these hand-me-downs, really. But yeah, if anyone can think of one in the comments that's Man United transfer of this century. And
but like Neves was linked with them every year, wasn't he? Jota was linked with them. Like they've always, our better players always seem to be linked with Man United, but then they always go elsewhere, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, I think the fact that obviously this century, but obviously, you know, the 80s and 90s, we were shit and Man United were a powerhouse. So, I mean, you know, it would take a lot for them to move in that direction. I think it follows on nicely onto Newport Wolves' question. How much do you think season ticket prices will rise by next season? Because obviously we talk about, oh, we need to invest in the squad, and then we're the first to kick off when we go, well, we don't want my season ticket to go up by a nominal amount.
Go on, Jack. You're probably better to speak on that. I don't know.
I think there is a trend now for them going up every season. And I think that will probably continue for as long as we're in the Premier League. I think we'll get a price freeze if we got relegated, potentially. But I saw the other day, what was that club that I shared? I shared it in the group chat. The Stoke, I think it's like 17 consecutive seasons that they've frozen their prices for, at least for a window at the start. And that seems insane to me. Like, how have they managed to do that? And
I think their attendances.
Well, that's probably why, isn't it? It's football
ground empty these days. Like,
yeah, Coates, one of the Coates is at the COB Bet365, and her salary is something like £360 million a year or something. So it just seems like that they don't really know the value of anything.
What was the prices this season? It was like just under £700 for behind the goals.
Yeah.
Something like that.
680, 690 this year.
I think it'll break the 700 mark this next time then.
It under Fosun, when Fosun first come in, I think it's doubled, hasn't it? Since 2017. I think the season tickets have doubled in price for us behind in the North Bank. So I think it'll go up like another 5%, won't it? It'll go up a little bit. It always does.
Yeah. And
they'll just say, oh, that's the way it is. But if you want to come, I remember their argument was because they brought in that new bloke, didn't they? I forget his name now. Remember they did all them videos where they introduced all the new apartments and new people. I can't remember his name, but the bloke who sorts all this stuff out, he was just sat there like, yeah, if you want to compete at that time, our season ticket prices were probably about 16th in the Premier League for a season ticket, like an average the price. He said, you've got to put the prices up to at least top eight if you want to get there type thing. Well, I remember everyone kicking off about that. So what I'm trying to say is it will go up again. They're just going to keep creeping it up every year.
I think they will, especially while there's a waiting list. There's no incentive for them to not do it, really. I mean, it's not going to go as bad as like Fulham or Arsenal or some of these, just because of, you can't, because of the region where it's in. But if they can squeeze another 50 quid a year out of everybody, I think they'll keep doing it as long as they can, to be honest.
The thing is, though, I mean, if you, just because you're on a waiting list doesn't mean that you can afford it any more than somebody who's currently got a season ticket. And if it comes down to the cost being, it's too expensive, then it's a bit of a false economy, isn't it? Because if a person is giving up because they can't afford it, it doesn't mean that you've got a load of people.
But they know someone will take it. What I mean by that is, I know someone will take their place. If you don't go next year, they ain't bothered because someone else will take it. And it'll be more expensive because they'll take up a new ticket. So it's one of these where there is an argument that it's pushing out the older and, you know, fans who've been through thick and thin, pricing them out. But from a purely like business model, It's like a Glastonbury ticket, isn't it, to them? Because they're going to sell them no matter what the lineup is or how much they cost. So how do you price that? It's like you're turning down money. So I don't think we can quite do that with Wolves tickets. Obviously, it's not quite the same. But while there's thousands on the waiting lists and new season ticket holders' tickets are more expensive before you renew and get like a little discount, don't you? So, you know, it's actually more profitable for people to move on. And this is why I've said it before, actually, but I think the way it's going to go is be like more of the, particularly with all the American owners, there's going to be more push over the years to actually decrease season ticket sales because they're not profitable, and just get the tourist fans in for the big games because then you can charge them three figures for a match ticket rather than a grand a year for a season ticket. You know, you're making a lot more money off that seat being sold to a non-regular than you are to a regular, particularly if you partnership with these resale sites and all this nonsense. So I don't want it to be that way, but the American influence is just all over the game at the moment. And I think particularly with the top six clubs, they'll be trying to keep the season ticket numbers down as much as possible and just sell to the casual fan.
Another thing, if you sell, like I've done it, I think I've done it twice this year because when I couldn't go to home games, when you sell your ticket back to the club, so say for example we had Arsenal at home and it was £40 a ticket, they'll only give you like £26 for your ticket or something like that. So they resell it, so they're making profit off you that way as well, which I think is a bit cheeky. You do get the cash for it eventually. I think it's about 3 weeks later you get the cash into your bank, whereas they usually just give you like shop money, I think. But yeah, so you'd think, God, come on, if you can't go, if you sell your ticket back, sure, it'd be nice if they just said, all right, well, you know, we'll match it. But they don't. They still make a decent profit off people who do that as well. So no wonder why people just give their season tickets to their mates and get like face value. They should stop doing
revenue streams. And what you might see more of, though, and I know it's technically in the terms and conditions now, is that they might start putting more checks in, because I've had talk about it before of people they've asked people to go and like check in at the ticket office because they think they've been sharing their ticket about or selling it on at a profit and these sorts of things. So there could be more checks in that, because I don't think technically you're allowed to share it, are you, in the terms and conditions? It is just for the named user. Everyone does it, and I'm sure there's lots of people out there, who myself included, like, you know, I share mine about with my family constantly. But you know, maybe there'll be more of a crackdown on that in future. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, Newport Wolves again making the point, Steve Ball stands a joke. How can they put it up again with no ground improvements? You know, because it's a great sad state.
That's a great
affairs.
Point. We're actually lucky. Down. We're lucky sitting in the North Bank, just because it's so much better in terms of space and facilities. Like, it is the best stand, and like, yeah, those people who are paying what, you know, nearly 900 quid now in some cases, or probably will be next season, to sit in that Steve Ball, that's atrocious, isn't it? Really, that's needs to be addressed.
Trevor says, my first season ticket at Molineux was £37. And you can tell a disparity in age between some of the people in the comments, because Oliver said you could buy a house for that in them days, which I think is a great thing. James says, Glastonbury tickets are literally half the price of a season ticket. Just looks it up, makes footy seem cheap. I mean, yeah.
Fair point. Yeah. You get, you know, what is it, 19 games of that? So 19 days out rather than just five at Glastonbury. But the way music festivals have increased in price, this is a different podcast, but over the last few years is crazy. But you know, that particularly the post-COVID and things like inflation have really hit that, because it's a massive infrastructure thing, and you know, the cost of fuel has really hit stuff like that, those areas. But at the same time, I think with some of the concerts, they are still taking the piss. But with the likes of Taylor Swift, like, you'll sell them all whatever the price is again. So what do you do?
I can't remember who it was at Bayern Munich, Harry, that said, you know, we have cheap season tickets because we could charge people an amount of money more that would make a difference to them, but it wouldn't really make much of a difference to us. obviously Bayern Munich have got Champions League football every season. They've got a big ground. So, I mean, that would help in the first instance. But, yeah, how much of a difference does, 50, 100 quid or whatever it may end up being on your season ticket actually come out with it at the end? You know, it's a lot for us to pay, but realistically, how many wages are we paying?
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's right. But I think also in the German league, and there's a rule that your club has to be owned by at least 51% of fans. Like the whole ownership, this fans have got to have at least 51% of it. So I think the fans of each club in that league have got a big say in that. Which you would, wouldn't you? If Wolves had a ownership of 51% of like a Wolves trust or something, it'd probably be the same with us. But yeah, I think most of their money now, it comes through TV and Premier League, doesn't it? Let's be honest, but they're a business. They're going to get as much as they can. Fos and Jeff, they weren't born in Wolverhampton, were they? It's all about their bottom line at the end of the day. So it's going to keep rising. But I'd love it if they kept them at the prices they were when Fos and first come in. Was it like 380 quid for a season ticket back then? Those were the days. Or even though it's shit to watch.
Completely different standard of football, yeah.
They did quite well originally, though, with the prices. They did a little drive to try and get more people back in, and it worked, to be fair. So, you know, I think they were promotion reasonable helped at the start. I mean pre-promotion, like the season of the championship, they made the prices really reasonable, really, really competitive to try and get the season ticket sales up, and it worked. So
yeah, very, very interesting. Right, okay. Well, we'll leave it there for another week. Best of luck if you are heading to Villa Park at the weekend. We will say goodbye to Harry Mansell.
Yeah, just if anyone knows where Dan Bayliss is, just drop us a message. We don't know what's happened to him. Never turns up. No, don't think he watches Wolves anymore. He does, he's in a box. Yeah. And I might see him at Villa Park in a box Saturday. Probably see our waving him if he's in another box.
His helicopter will be passing over at 10 to 3 if you just want to wave up to him, yeah.
And it is a goodbye from Jack Williams.
Ta-ra.
And it is a goodbye from me. Goodbye. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.